Now we have in Psalm 37 that we come to now, another Psalm of David, and it's what is known as an acrostic psalm. That means it's alphabetical in the Hebrew, which would be each verse would begin, or a section would begin with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And you'll notice here that this psalm has about 40 verses, which would mean about two verses would take in each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, beginning with Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, and so on, all the way through. We have that today. That's the way we instruct little folk. I remember when I was a little fella, I can still remember the book I got. A is for apple, B is for baby, C is for cat. And there's a picture of each one of them there. My, that was the way we started off. You have that in this psalm here. And this has been a psalm that's been a great blessing to God's people down through the years. And so often, though, misapplied. Now, will you notice? Here he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb." Now, this was something that troubled David apparently a great deal. And we'll find later on that another one of the writers in Scripture, in fact, if you go over to the 73rd Psalm, you will find that Asaph, he faced this perplexing problem, by the way. Now, the reason that you find that here, and especially in the Old Testament, is that God promised the believers in the Old Testament, he promised them earthly and material prosperity. He has not promised that to believers today. Our hope is not on the earth. The hope of Israel was upon this earth. And therefore, when the man of that day looked about him and he saw the ungodly prospering, the fact of the matter is, here was an ungodly man and his fields were producing and the rain came down upon his crops. And then down the road a little ways, some poor righteous fellow was having a hard time. And it was difficult in that day for the godly man to understand it. And David had that. David came to the same conclusion as Asaph did. If you go over to Psalm 73, which we'll not do at this time, Asaph said that at the end he saw what would happen, and that the wicked were going to be cut down, as we're told here, just like the grass. And you remember a few years ago, and I remember I had people in the congregation, why would God permit Hitler to do what he's doing? Why, he almost won World War II. And why would God permit a man like Mussolini? And by the way, where are they today? You just give God time. He'll deal with them. And it's the end of the wicked that you need to consider. So now he says what we are to do if you look about you today. And this is a problem that disturbs you. There's several things if you'll do, it'll solve your problem. First, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, this was a promise to God's earthly people. God says to them, you don't worry about the wicked. You trust in the Lord, and he's going to take care of you. Then verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And friends, that was for the man in that day, and it's for us today. But I don't know that he's going to give you an apple a day, or I'm not sure that he's going to bless you in your business. But I say this, he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings, and he'll just shower on you all the spiritual blessings that you can contain. And what are we to do then? Delight thyself in the Lord. That's what we're to do. Verse 5, another thing we're to do, commit thy way unto the Lord. And a great many Christians that are criticizing today, finding fault with God. And friends, they haven't committed their way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Give God time. He'll work it out in your life. God's good, friends. You know, the idea of the heathen is that God's terrible. They're idols. Look at them. Ooh, they're hideous. And there are a great many people today, and professing Christians, that don't think God's very good. They think he's sort of a villain. He may turn on you at any moment. He never will. He's your friend. He loves you. He wants to save you. But you've got to commit your way to him, you see. Now, that's not all. In verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Just rest in the Lord. How wonderful it is to rest in him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't let him disturb you at all. And then he says, don't get uptight. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't lose your temper. Don't be upset. Don't be under tension. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil. Don't think that you can get by with it, friends. If you are his child, you are really in trouble if you try to get by. For listen to him. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. God's going to see to that. And then verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. That's what God has said. Now, God's going to put a people on this earth someday. I heard of a preacher the other day made the statement God's going to save so many people that there wouldn't be room enough for them on this earth, so he had to have heaven to take care of the overflow. I guess that's what he meant. I don't think he used the term overflow. Well, I want to tell you, heaven is not for the overflow. That's for the church. And there will be an earthly people down here. That is to hopelessly confuse the purposes of God, my friend. Now, will you notice here, the wicked have drawn out the sword. Scripture makes it clear, if you take the sword, you're going to perish that way. Now, verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I have, in the course of my ministry and traveling around, I've been in the homes of very poor saints, and also in very rich saints. And my experience has been that the happiest saints are those that don't have so much. God seems to see to that. And verse 20, but the wicked shall perish. And you let God handle that department. He's working on that, and he'll take care of it. And verse 23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That is established by the Lord on a foundation that we've seen is the rock, and that rock is Christ. And he delighteth in his way. Does God delight in you today? He could point to Job, and Job wasn't perfect by any means as we saw when we were there, but God took a delight in him. Now, verse 29, again listen to him. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Now, God is making good his promise to Abraham and to the children of Israel. He promised them earthly blessings. He did not promise that to you and me. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And you're going to get all confused if you try to say God has promised you that. Many Christians are being blessed with material things. May I say to you, that surplus that you get, that's an added blessing. And if God has blessed you that way, you have a tremendous responsibility. I feel sorry for some of the rich saints because they're not using the money as they should be using it for God today. Now, verse 37 and 38, mark the perfect man. That is perfect toward God in that he's trusted God and rested upon God's salvation. And behold the upright, for the end of that man's peace. God will see to that. Verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. You mark that down. That's as true as the law of gravitation. And God's going to take care of that department.